you do now? We perhaps will starve to death, and why, you'd think there was something wrong with them. And yet that's the way it is with us, isn't it? Doesn't it say here, except ye become as little children? Why, Jesus prefaces this by saying, verily, amen, amen. Verily I say to you, I'm saying something very strong. What were the disciples interested in? They were interested in knowing who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Who is the greatest, Lord? The preacher, or the evangelist, or the teacher, or the missionary, or the cook? And Jesus called a little child unto him and said, there's no use of you discussing who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You won't even get into it unless you become as little children. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say to you, unless you strafita, unless you are turned around, unless you are strepho to turn, unless you are turned, you're going in the wrong direction. What direction were they going in? They were going up. Jesus says, you need to go down. Paul talks about something there also in Romans 12 about being occupying yourselves with humble things. Oh, beloved, why don't we become simple? Simple. People get in the hands of the devil by occupying themselves with big things, with gifts of prophecy, and they get all kinds of crazy notions, and they want to fix the world up according to the... And instead of becoming like little children, except ye turn, be turned and become as the little children. Umi iselfite, you certainly will never. It's the strongest kind of negative. Now in English, it's just, ye shall not. But in Greek, it's not, not. Jesus, of course, he probably was talking in Aramaic, but the Greek translation, the Greek here, as the Holy Spirit gives it to us, has the double negative. You shall in no wise. You certainly will not enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Whoever therefore, ostis, every single one therefore who humbles himself as this little child, that one is the greatest in the kingdom of the heavens. Oh, this morning, all my care would disappear if I would become like a little child. Wouldn't it? Jesus is looking after me. I suppose that's got something to do with meekness. It's just a simplicity of letting the Lord look after you. And it says here in the 25th Psalm, fourth verse, show me thy ways, O Lord. We've read it before, but we constantly need to remind ourselves, we are so proud and conceited, and we're so self-confident, and we're so self-sufficient and self-satisfied, and we look to ourselves so much, and you wake up in the morning and you don't feel so good and you don't feel so spiritual, and then you get discouraged. You think, well, I'm not spiritual today. Well, if you wake up and you don't feel very good, you don't say, well, I'm dead today, I'm not alive today. Why, of course, you're just as much a member of the human race as you ever were. And I'll tell you, beloved, when we get our attention on Jesus all the time and do what he says, deny ourselves, have nothing to do with ourselves, we'll have an experience that never changes. And that's what he wants us to have. Never changing. I have Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I have Jesus. You have Jesus. morning? Well, I'm sorry for you if you don't. And if you do, why are you discouraged? Isn't he going to see you through over the rough places? All our troubles, all our difficulties, all these devilish feelings come from our absorption in self. And all your good feelings, a lot of them, come from the same source, because you lose them so quickly. You don't lose your sense of peace if it's in Christ. You only lose your peace if it's centered in yourself. My, you feel so spiritual today. You prayed yesterday and got a blessing, and you feel so spiritual until you fall in the next hole, and then you're down in the dumps again. Now I'm spiritual, tomorrow I won't be spiritual. Like the man who used to get up and testify, he said, I'm justified by faith, and I'm sanctified by in the name of Jesus Christ. And then a few days later, he testified, well, he said, I don't feel good today. He said, I'm just justified today. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Oh, that makes me say, God, show me your ways. Teach me thy paths. It says something in the Bible about all his paths are paths of peace. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. I've got somebody today who is the God of my salvation, and you know his whole job is to look after me. Isn't it an awful waste of time for a mother to spend all her time looking after these little kids? Well, I know that's her glory. That's her honor. That's the glory of her life, that she's looking after those little children. And you think God's more interested in Mars or Venus than he is in you? Of course not. He has bought you with his own precious blood. And that's where my faith comes today. If it's faith in Jesus, it'll make me so simple. You're the God of my salvation. What is the God of my salvation mean? How is God the God of my salvation? He's the God of my salvation as he shows me his ways. What are his ways? His ways are ways of joy and peace and love. His ways are ways of righteousness. God's ways are ways of victory, aren't they? God's ways aren't ways of defeat. Why, no. What is his truth? Why, Jesus says, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Lead me in thy truth. Lord, teach me. What do you want God to teach you today? You know what I want God to teach me today? I want him to teach me how to keep my eyes always on Jesus. That's the lesson I want to learn. And you know, I believe he's doing it. I believe I'm finding out that today I don't look at myself as much as I did 10 years ago. I find out why back there years ago, I remember every time I failed, I went into a dump. I went into a tailspin. I got discouraged. I got blue. Now I had failed. I failed God, and I mourned over it, mourned and mourned. Until, as Byron tells us, Titan, the great corrector, came along and made me feel better, but the thing was still there. Till the next chance came for it to come up. And after a while, I found out it was wrong. And then I knew I had to start working. I knew I had to start looking to God for victory. Lord, teach me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. Teach me. Oh, isn't that the figure of a person who doesn't know anything? I have people coming to me so often, and they say, I'd like you to tell me something about so-and-so. You know what they want? They want a chance to talk to me and tell me all they know. I don't have to say a thing. They want to let me know they got a great revelation, and they're somebody, and they've got some special gift, and so on. That's all. But here, David wants God to teach him. Why? He says, Lord, if you don't teach me and lead me and guide me, you won't be the God of my salvation. And then finally, he says, on thee do I wait all the day. You know, today, beloved, that's all I need, is a simple attitude of dependence upon Jesus to be my conqueror today, to be my victory, to be the very life of my body. Doesn't it say in the Bible, the Lord is the strength of my life? But God has to teach you these things. You don't get it by just reading about it. You got to be taught. God will teach me today as I keep my eyes upon Him. That's the plea of David. Show me, teach me, lead me, teach me. Why do I ask you to do these things, Lord? Because you are the God of my salvation. What will I give you? My attention. On thee do I wait all the day. Oh, if I do that, beloved, I'm going to be poor in spirit. You know, a person who doesn't know anything and wants to be taught is poor in spirit, isn't he? He comes and he submits himself to his teacher. The teacher says, do this, he does it. I had a friend once who was taking violin lessons and he was paying $10 for 15 minutes, was it, or perhaps less. And the whole, all he was learning was how to use some muscle in his back to use his bow. That's all he was learning. $10, 15 minutes. And he wasn't trying to tell that fellow anything. He was giving him the money and he was as meek as Moses. He was learning. He didn't know. So, and if we don't, beloved, I don't know anything, and neither do you. Doesn't it say in the Bible, it is not in man whose breath it is in his nostrils to decide his own steps? Doesn't the Psalm say that somewhere? It is not in man whose breath is in his nostrils to guide his steps. You can look that up. It's in one of these, the Psalms, I'm pretty sure. And if that's the case, then we have to have this simple attitude. Oh, for the simplicity of faith. Do you think Jesus can make you perfect today? He can. He can do all things. God can do everything He's promised. Beloved, the Christian life isn't my effort, it's God's. That's the simplicity of it. My, it's so nice to get in the hands of a teacher. I know you have to have you have to give the teacher an attitude. What kind of an attitude? Why, if you don't believe in your teacher, you won't learn anything, will you? You'll say, well, I don't know whether he's teaching me the right way or not. I get people to come and, you know, some job I've got, and one says, well, now it's this way. Here's my water heater. And when I got one, and we couldn't get it turned on. Well, one fellow said, you got to turn it on this way. And another one says, you got to turn it on this way. And I didn't know which way it was. But oh, we can trust the Lord, can't we? We can trust Jesus. In fact, Jesus welcomes you and he says, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden and are so confused, come unto me and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Oh, I want that rest which is power. And so Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they have the kingdom. They walk in its power. You want to be powerful today? Who do you want to be powerful in? Yourself? The devil or the Lord? The devil will give you power if you open yourself to him. He'll give you prophecy. He'll give you demons to motivate your life. Oh, Adam, he'll give you something. He'll give you a headache. One every hour on the hour. But Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you the power of the kingdom. And listen, beloved, you don't get in that kingdom. I don't care how much steam you let off or how many whistles you blow. You're not in that kingdom unless you become like a little child. On the authority of Jesus, I say it. We need to be simple, beloved. Our lives need to be simple. And you can go out from Miracle Valley in great simplicity. And you can go to Russia and get Khrushchev converted if God sends you. Oh, simplicity gives us faith, doesn't it? Lebaras of today, hallelujah, glory to God. Today I've got a God whose whole job is to teach me, if I'll only let him. But if I'm so pig-headed and stubborn that I think I know everything, I know how to do it. That's the way children are sometimes, you know. Joan says, now help me with this thing. When I start to help her, she begins to tell me all about it. And I say, well, if you want me to help you, why let me help you? If you know how it is, why then don't ask me? That's the way we are with God, isn't it? But oh, to be so poor in spirit all the time that you never know anything. I'll tell you, it's a great burden when you get so filled up with knowledge that you get top heavy. You can hardly stand up straight. Just be simple today. There's so much confusion in the world, isn't there? Which is the right doctrine? Is it this or is it that or is it the other? And when is the rapture going to be? And when is the tribulation? And who is the Antichrist? And a lot of subjects that don't mean a thing to your present daily victory. But all the simplicity of having Alleluia. Hallelujah. Listen, I can really get saved today. We can have a salvation that God will work out in us today if we let Him. But you can't have it, beloved, unless you become like a little child. Now, when will we learn not to make decisions so quickly? When will we learn that we don't know everything yet? On thee do I wait all the day long. That's faith. If you want to know what faith is, it's depending on Jesus. Oh, you don't want to depend on Jesus, do you? You want to stand on your own feet. You want to do it yourself. That's where all our trouble comes. Oh, that I might know, listen, that I might know I can't do anything of myself any more than Jesus could. I can't know anything of myself. If any man thinks he knows anything, the Bible says he's a fool. And I can't be anything. If any man thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing, being nothing, the Greek says, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. The Bible says you can't be anything, it says you can't know anything, and it says you can't do anything of yourself. What does it mean then? It means that God wants me for a vessel for his omnipotence to be in. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of the heavens. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Why, God does everything in heaven. God is the one who inspires everything in heaven. And he wants to inspire everything in earth. And when he does, we won't need the United Nations. And we won't need student government. We won't need the faculty government either. God will be governing everything. He'll do a better job. Oh, to become as little children. Oh, to give up this horrible monster self. To know nothing of ourselves, to be nothing of ourselves, and to do nothing of ourselves, and then, beloved, you'd have the kingdom. You've got to pray to get to this place, don't you? Oh, you have to pray day by day, God, bring me down. I'm so smart, I think I know so much, and I try to do so many things, and I can't do them. And I think I'm somebody when I'm not. Lord, bring me down. And you know, when you get down to that place, when you don't have anything, you don't worry about losing anything, do you? Why, some people go around walking a tightrope trying to hold their spiritual experiences. They've got a great experience. They hold their breath. A.B. Simpson tells about it, how he said he thought he had it. He was seeking divine healing. He thought he had it, and he hang on to it, and then he lost it, and he didn't have it. And then he thought he had sanctification. And he was so nervous about it because now he had it and then he didn't have it. And after a while he found out it wasn't it at all. He needed, what he needed was him. And after a while he got him. He got Jesus. And then he entered into rest. And so we're told to enter into rest, aren't we? Labor, what is this rest? What is this rest Jesus says he'll give you? Don't you have rest today? Why don't you? Because you're in the flesh. When I don't have rest, it's because my old man is operating. He's not interested in rest. He was born to be like the waves of the sea. That's the picture of humanity. But oh, Jesus has a greater call over our lives than that, hasn't he? And it's Farazarajolo. Jesus' call is to come unto me, and I'm going to give you myself. And I'm going to give you a life just exactly like my own life. Blessed are... It's strange, isn't it, that Jesus should start his teaching in Matthew with that huge crowd. And the very first thing he says when he opens his mouth is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They were all occupied with the teaching of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they all pricked up their ears and they said, hey, the kingdom's here. Pretty soon we won't have to pay Caesar any more taxes. Pretty soon all these Romans will kick them out. And so naturally they were interested in this wonderful kingdom. Why, they had listened to it from their teachers. The rabbis told them that God was going to send a Messiah and they were going to crush the Romans, whom they hated, and they wouldn't have to pay taxes anymore. And I tell you, when that day came, they put Zacchaeus where he belonged and all these tax collectors. They put him in the jug for life. And now here's Jesus. And Nicodemus went to him, and he wanted to ask him about this kingdom, didn't he? He wanted to find out. That's what they were all interested in. Is the time at hand when we will have this great earthly kingdom, when we Jews will be the main ones in the world? We'll be the big one. We'll be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you don't get born again, you'll never even see this kingdom. Strange, isn't it? Strange. Nicodemus says, how is that? I can't go in my mother's womb again. Oh, the natural man can't understand it. And now Jesus has this great crowd, and he says, he just infers, you're all interested, aren't you, in this kingdom, and you want to stop paying taxes, and you want to kick these Romans out. But he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Something different, isn't it? Beloved, salvation is something entirely different that the old man doesn't understand. The natural man is enmity against God, and we've still got a lot of it in our systems, don't we? We're not simple. Why, if we're simple, like little children, God would say, go and move the mule mountains, and you'd go and do it. You wouldn't think anything of it because you wouldn't do it. But if you were not simple like little children, you'd look to see if you had the faith. And then you'd figure out, well, perhaps I don't have the faith. Oh, for the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, for this simple attitude. Live on our side. God got salvation today. That's as big as himself for every one of you, if you'll have it. And when Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, it's only because God's working in you. To will... Now, I know a lot of people really would like to please God, but they don't really go further and actually do it. There's a lot of wishful thinking. God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I'll tell you, beloved, it's God's good pleasure today that we should enjoy the benefits of his kingdom. There's a kingdom here now, isn't there? Isn't there a kingdom here now? Are you waiting for the millennium? Well, suppose it didn't come. Suppose something happened to it. Then you'd lose everything, wouldn't you? Oh, beloved, it says, blessed. God wants some people to walk this world with the power of the kingdom. And I'll tell you, that power of the kingdom will heal every sick person and will cast out every demon. And you know who will get that power? The poor in spirit, it says. Why don't I read something then? Why don't I read something in the Bible to find out what that means? Why don't I get along with my God and say, God, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? I tell you, he'll show you what it means, that all these things that rise up in us are wrong. I know they're wrong because they rob us of peace. And when they rob you of peace, they rob you of power. When they rob you of power, they rob you of your ministry. Well, why don't we take Jesus' way? The very first thing he says when he opens his mouth in Matthew. Well, the first thing he says is, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Beloved, God wants people to walk this earth. God wants people to evolve. Glory. He wants us to walk Miracle Valley today in the powers of the kingdom. He wants us to walk today waiting upon Him every moment, and He let His power flow through us. When somebody is sick, why, you'll be able to pray for them. The whole reason is we've got such a mixture. We're a mixed multitude, aren't we? And the mixed multitude part of us lusts after the leeks and garlics of Egypt. He said, we had everything down there in Egypt. Now we're in this wilderness where we've got to trust in God. Oh, God wanted them to have a kingdom. And Jesus says, because you wouldn't have it, the kingdom of heaven is going to be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And Peter says, you are that holy nation. And so today, students, the Lord invites us to enter into His kingdom. Today, God wants us to walk in the power of that kingdom. He wants you to walk today in perfect peace and joy. He wants you to walk in His holy presence today. He wants you to walk with love. Is that power to have love in your heart for everybody? He wants me to walk in purity today. He wants me to walk with the flesh subdued. He wants me to have the kingdom today. That's what the world's waiting for. It's waiting for a kingdom. It's trying to have a world government. It's trying to have something that will make people to be at peace. Beloved, God's got it. It's in our reach right today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to wait for this. Oh, this wrong teaching that makes you wait for everything. Now we're in a veil of tears and woe. Now we must just hobble along and struggle along and hope that by the skin of our teeth we'll make heaven. Well, that's not the picture Jesus gives us. He gives us a picture. He says, cheer up, in the world you shall have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's that kingdom the world needs. And He must reign. Oh, that Jesus might reign over you today. Shall we be so lowly that we let Jesus teach us how to feel the right feelings? How to think the right thoughts? How to speak the right words? Oh, shall we be so empty that when a conversation arises, we won't get dragged into it and begin to gossip and criticize and judge and condemn and so on? There's a kingdom right here waiting for us to enter into. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? They said. Well, Jesus says, you'll have to turn around. You're going the wrong way. You'll have to humble yourself and become like this little child. And then you'll be the greatest in the kingdom. Oh, beloved, coming down is a hard business, isn't it? It's hard for me and it must be hard for you. It's hard to come down. Oh, God wants me to walk in the powers of the kingdom today. He wants us to walk with compassion. I tend to get irritated with people when they don't do right. You know, I look at a seat back there and there's nobody in it. Right away I say, why aren't they here? Why is they here? Now, sometimes people have their heads down and their knee on the floor or something that I can't see them. But you know, we've got to get over irritation, haven't we? The Bible doesn't say the fruit of the Spirit is irritation. Boy, if that was the case, we'd surely have a lot of grapes, wouldn't we? The powers of the kingdom. God wants a kingdom in this world. Listen, beloved, what's going to reign in this world? What kind of heaven is and new earth is it going to be? Righteousness is going to dwell in it. Well, why don't we get it? Why don't we start? We've taken a piece of desert here and we're making it blossom like, if not like a rose, at least like clover and oats. Well, that's fine. Now, why don't we take this world and make it blossom like a rose? And when Jesus talks about that, He's talking about this very thing. He's talking about human lives in whom the powers of the heavenly kingdom are to operate. Listen, let's be God's kingdom today. Shall we get so meek at Jesus' feet that we learn of Him? Shall we say, Jesus, teach me to bow to You?
And when these feelings come, you may have to pray with strong crying and tears to get rid of them. You may have to pray, oh God, put love in my heart. That's why we need to pray more. We do. And when we pray, what we need to do is pray specifically. God, give me this specific victory. I think we all need these things. Patience is one of the things we all need. And I suppose we have to withhold judgment. So often we make judgments about things and then we find it's not correct. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Why, Jesus was the greatest in the kingdom, wasn't he? Because he was the lowliest. And there he hung upon that cross. And there's the victory for us, the victory for me. Lord, won't you teach me your ways? Won't you teach me your ways? Show me thy ways, O Lord. God's ways are not our ways, are they? No, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. Beloved, we're too natural. We don't have to wait to go to heaven to be like Jesus, do we? He's not coming to get a filthy bride out of this world to take her to heaven, to the heavenly shower room or wherever they get clean. No, he's doing that here. Here today, today is the day of salvation. Today is the only day I've got. Listen, beloved, as far as I know, I'm going to heaven tonight. As far as I know. Everything that has to be done for me really has to be done today. It can't wait till tomorrow. Oh, I've got to bow before Jesus today. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Lord, won't you show me your ways? I'm waiting on you all day, David says. What a man he was. He was a man after God's own heart. You can't go far astray if you follow David. Don't pay any attention to what people say. Sure, they'll ride over you roughshod. Well, they did Jesus. But somehow, that's the way God gets his victories in this world. Oh, thy kingdom, Jesus says, thy kingdom come. And you know how he got it to come? He held out his hands and said, Father, forgive them as they nailed the nails in. God, bring down my proud spirit. We're all troubled with pride. We are. I'm just assuming you're all like me. Perhaps not as bad, but at least got the same ingredients. We're all troubled with pride. We're all troubled with conceit. We're all troubled with all sorts of horrible, wicked things. But Jesus has a kingdom. Oh, let's become like little children. Come this morning. You don't have to be somebody. You have to be nobody. Then Jesus will be somebody. Come this morning, don't be distressed by your failures. That's all you can do. If the Lord throws you loose, you'll do not. You can't succeed. It's like these, it's like betting on the horses. You can't win. Or running these gambling machines. You can't win. You're licked before you start. You can't succeed. We're not capable of doing anything good. In me there dwelleth no good thing, Paul says. Only God is good. And so I must look to him. Don't be discouraged this morning. If you fail, say, Jesus, I'm going to take you today. I'm going to wait on you. Oh, beloved, I'll tell you, it makes you walk very carefully, doesn't it? It makes you walk very carefully. I tell you, Peter kept his eyes on Jesus as he was walking on the water. And then after a while, it seemed to be pretty solid. And so he thought he could just kind of look around, see how nice it was. See if the disciples were looking at him. Bunk. Sure. He had learned the lesson, on thee do I wait all the day. No, he didn't. He waited on the Lord till he thought he knew pretty well how to do it. And then he found out he didn't know a thing about walking on water. It was all Jesus. It was all Jesus, wasn't it? It wasn't Peter at all. It was Jesus' victory. It was Jesus' victory up the mountain there. He prayed all night. He says, God, I won't have this kingdom. I won't have my own way. They want to make me king. I won't have it. There's only one way I can have this kingdom. There's only one way I can have this power. The devil wanted to give it to him. Jesus said, there's only one way I can have this power, and that's the way of the cross. And beloved, it's the only way you'll get this power. It's the only way I'll get this power. It's the only way we'll have the power of the kingdom. It's the only way we'll win the world for God. We've got to have the cross in our lives. Our own strength has to be crucified. We've got to find our weaknesses our strength. Let him that is weak Let him who has found his own inherent weakness say, I am strong. And God gives strength to the weak, doesn't he? And to those that have no might, he increases strength. It's that strange mystery of the gospel that it's out of weakness that God's strength is made perfect. He taught Paul that lesson too. That man who was so used of God, and God had to let him see that it wasn't himself at all. God had to let him see it wasn't Paul. Paul might have succumbed to that feeling. God showed him it wasn't by keeping him constantly in a state of weakness. So you can't say that Paul's triumphs were the result of Paul. They were the result of Jesus. And Paul says, I'm going to glory in my weakness. Oh, today, none of us need feel discouraged. Today, none of us feel that it's too hard. Why, no, it's Jesus. Is it too hard to be a little child? It seems as though it is. It seems it's too hard to be simple. It seems it's too hard because we've had it born into us to look to ourselves and to do it ourselves. And it's that thing, and that's why we've got to enter into this Sabbath rest of God in order to have the works of God manifested in our lives and ministry. Beloved, there's a deep, holy, wonderful secret in the Bible, and it is symbolized by the cross of Jesus. And when you learn that secret, I tell you, the flow of life is going to be there. There's going to be power. We've got to let God teach us that secret. Only Jesus can do it. Only the Holy Ghost coming into us in fullness. And when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, he will start to bring you down so that Christ may be all in all. He'll strengthen you with might in the inner man so that you can come down. He'll strengthen me with might in the inner man so that I will say, thy will be done when I can't get my own way. He'll strengthen me with might in the inner man so that I will learn to be patient when everything wants me to be impatient. Yes, he will. God's got a wonderful way of doing things, hasn't he? Oh, God ceased from his own works and he entered into his Sabbath rest, and out of that Sabbath rest there flowed the whole plan of redemption. And Jesus says, I can't do anything of myself. I refuse to make these stones bread. I refuse. God never said that he helps those who help themselves. That's in the devil's Bible. You won't find that in the Bible. No, God doesn't have to help anybody. God wants us to be so empty that he goes ahead and does the whole job. I am his vessel. I am his instrument. I speak the words. I lay my hands on people, and oh, beloved, if God can so cleanse us from this natural and make us so lowly and so like a little child, he can do his wonders through us. He will. He'll give you a ministry that will astound you and that will help suffering humanity. And, beloved, the whole question is, the parables, the whole question is, am I willing to be crucified with Jesus? That's the whole question. Oh, Jesus might have said, I'll go down to that world, I'll show them how to live, and I'll go so far, but no, sir, I won't let them crucify me. All right, no salvation for the world. Beloved, if God came and looked in this window and pointed to us and said, are you students, every one of you, willing to be crucified? If you're willing to be crucified on the cross, I'll save the whole world. I wonder what we'd say. Oh, yes, if it was some kind of spectacular affair, we'd probably say, sure. Me first. Well, God's saying that very thing, isn't he? He's telling me that very thing today. Yes, he is telling me that very thing today. And when I bow myself and just obey, as students, if you will just learn to obey. Oh, that's the cross, isn't it? It crucifies your old man. It brings Jesus into the world. I know it humiliates you, but oh, it's obedience to God. It humiliated Jesus, didn't it? What did he do? He despised the shame. It was a shameful thing to die like that. Oh, wouldn't it have been nice if the whole world had known he was dying to atone for the world, and they all would come around with their cameras, and they'd all said, oh, Jesus, it's wonderful. gospel, you're dying for us. My goodness, anybody can die that way. Have the thing in color film for everybody to see. My, but the thing is, when you're dying and all your own very own disciples have left you in the lurch, and you're dying all alone. And on the top of that, in the middle of it, you suddenly find God's left you, and you cry out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's a different kind of thing, isn't it? But that's where salvation is. And that's not only where, that's where my salvation is, right there. Oh, that's what God's waiting for. God's waiting for students who will come to a school and who will pray through, beloved, who will pray through to the cross of Jesus. And who will find out how proud they are. And then they'll find out they shouldn't talk so much about themselves. They'll find out they should be more silent. And they'll read the Proverbs. And they'll find out that if you're a man of knowledge, you'll keep your mouth shut. And even a fool, if he keeps his mouth shut, will be given 100% on his examination. Oh yes, this is a practical thing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom. God wants to get a kingdom in this world, and he'll never get it as long as everybody wants his own way. Now the world's trying to get a kingdom. The world's trying to get a world at peace with itself, but naturally they all want their own way. Naturally. And that same thing is in church, same thing is here in the religious world. But oh, there is a day coming when God will have a group of people who really are crucified with Christ. Theirs will be the power of the kingdom. They may not be given recognition. I don't understand why a man like Paul, with such power, supernatural power, such miracles, why in Ephesus, the handkerchiefs, they brought cloths and just laid them on his body and then took them away. And the most tremendous miracles took place. He would go to the island of Melita and heal everybody on that island. I can't understand why a man with such powers as that should have been turned down by the religious world as he was, according to his own testimony. He says, all Asia, that very place where his greatest works were done, it was Jesus Christ all over again being reviled by man, wasn't it? Strange, isn't it? You think when you get to be a great big preacher like Brother Allen and do a lot of miracles greater than he's doing, you think everybody's going to say, hip, hip, hooray? Well, perhaps you're mistaken. Perhaps, beloved, the devil in this world's going to rise up, and if we don't learn this lesson now, how are we going to learn it later on? Oh, glory to God. Let's go out and join. Let's get hold of Alice in Wonderland. Get that stuff she drank, you know. And then she got smaller. Let's drink some and get like those little kids and run around and play in the dirt and be happy in the sunshine. And go and eat dinner when you're called and you don't have to worry about it. Then why not? If you're children of God. Why not, beloved? Oh, glory to God, that cross that will make me rejoice all the time, even when I'm a big fizzle and a failure. Oh, I'm beginning to find there's an inner joy in my heart when I say, well, Jesus, it's you and it's not me. And after a while, your old man just kind of dies of neglect. Atrophies through lack of being used. Amen.